This is Toy Story Disney Studios, February 4th, 1995, recording Tim Allen as Buzz.
So this is that beginning section where you're like, Star Command, do you read me?
John Lasseter directs Tim Allen.
Buzz Lightyear to Star Command, come in, Star Command. Star Command, come in, do you read me?
Why don't they answer?
When we were making Toy Story, the first one, it was just director John Lasseter and a very small group of us coming up with the characters and situations. And of course, the toy version of Buzz.
And now we're about to release a film about the origin story of this Buzz Lightyear character. We get to grapple with this question.
Buzz exits an airlock into a flood of light.
Who is Buzz Lightyear?
The Space Ranger looks around and nods, his helmet tucked against his hip. Now, a title tilts into view against columns of rapidly streaking starlight, beyond infinity.
I'm Buzz Lightyear, Space Ranger, Universe Protection Unit.
His job in the first films is to show up and basically push Woody's buttons.
Andy's name is written on Buzz's foot.
He's the best of the best, and he knows it.
He swings off a desk lamp.
He understands everything in all the manuals. He's studied the hardest.
Woody, are you all right?
He's the strongest. He's the fastest. He's the estest.
Buzz activates his wings.
Buzz is the most upright citizen.
We will not rest until he's safe in Andy's room.
And takes his policing job very, very, very seriously.
Watch yourself. Ooh. Buzz, who goes there?
He's the straight guy. He's the very literal guy.
Everything that's on the box is the sum total of his knowledge.
I protect the galaxy from the threat of invasion.
He doesn't understand that he's the toy based off of this character on the big screen. He thinks he is that character.
Very impressed with Andy's new toy.
Toy?
T-O-Y. Toy.
Excuse me, I think the word you're searching for is Space Ranger.
And the comedy all comes from that disagreement over the nature of the reality.
As Woody shoves him, his domed helmet pops open and he drops to his hands and knees, gasping for breath.
It was Woody's movie, but you need one for the other to work. It's a dance.
September 1990.
Good morning. I'm Pete. Today we're going to learn how to animate in less than 2 minutes. We type in the magic Unix commands.
In 1990, Pixar had done a bunch of short films.
Pete Doctor.
I knew that the goal was to eventually do a feature, and I think the thought was, well, let's do an intermediate step. We'll do a Christmas special. Using characters from one of the short films, Tin Toy.
A one-man band toy made of tin sees a baby crawling in from around a corner.
That just seemed like a very appealing, fun world, the world of toys, seeing things from the toy's point of view way down low.
Andrew Stanton, Pixar Creative VP.
The thrill was this must be what it really feels like to be this small on the floor and encounter a giant, reckless baby.
The toy finds himself trapped inside his box.
At the same time, Disney said, hey, you know what? We'd be willing to spring for a feature. What do you want to do? And we were like, I have no idea. So we thought, well, what if we just use the Christmas special that we were writing as the first act, and then we'll just go from there? Because we had no idea what we were doing. In animation at that time, it was only musicals. So the idea that we could do some other kind of storytelling was really attractive.
The cover of the Toy Story script appears.
One of the first things that in our story that happened was that Tinny met this other ventriloquist doll, the old established toy, and this new toy comes and is now threatening this old toy's place in Andy's room. This new, cool, amazing tin toy? So we're like, okay, that doesn't quite work. Like, what was the toy we all wanted as kids? We wanted action figures, you know, with like karate chop action or exploding briefcases, all kind of like these moving parts. Tinny had to go up on the shelf, and his part was taken over by this brand new character that we were creating named Buzz Lightyear.
Initially, Buzz was more of a golden age space hero from the 30s.
The character morphs and changes through different art renderings.
I did all these things that almost looked like water heaters with fins on them. Things that were based on Roman legionnaire helmets and all that older classic stuff.
At the Pixar archives, two stacks slide open on tracks to reveal shelves filled with boxes. Data specialist Lauren Gaylord takes out a portfolio of pencil sketches.
We have so many drawings of Buzz that sometimes it's hard to differentiate.
One shows him with a pompadour.
This is one that we have nicknamed Big Hair Buzz. It's a distinguishing part of this stage of character design because, of course, in the end, Buzz has no hair.
Buzz Lightyear wasn't always called Buzz Lightyear.
At one point, he was called Lunar Larry. One of the suits has, like, the LL on it.
Christine Freeman.
This is from an early animation test. Woody is slim, and the character that would become Buzz is T-Cor. But it looks like they weren't necessarily satisfied with that, because on this particular script, they've made all these other acronyms for him. He could have been Tolar or Micros.
And then one of them was Tempest from Morph, and I don't know if we used that for more than that one test.
Jeff Pigeon, story art and animation, Toy Story, in an animation test.
Hi, pal, what you doing? I'm Tempest from Morph!
Yeah, what's his butt? Say, you weren't thinking of flying, were you?
Well,
you know Andy loves toys that can fly.
Really?
Of course, when we look at the final drawings, we think, oh, yes, that was the right Buzz to choose. But how did we get there? It's so fun to just see all the iterations.
Juliet Roth, senior manager, Pixar Archives. Now, an artist sketches Buzz.
Just warming up still.
Bob yes. Pauly, character designer, Toy Story.
When I came on, John Lasseter wanted to have a contemporary new toy and asked if we could do something more like an astronaut.
Photos feature astronauts in different spacesuits.
So we looked to NASA, we looked at the astronauts. Same time, we're going to the toy stores, we're taking things apart, figuring out how they work, how they articulate. And the wings needed to function like we're gonna make this thing. So I came up with a way that they would swing out to the side. I thought, you could make that. I can see a toy being built with that.
The minute we said 12 inches like a G.I. Joe, yes. The minute we said new, yes. Let's give him karate chop action, yes. The minute Bob Pauly said, what if we make it white and just give it a little accent with color, we were all like, yes.
And he should have some declarative thing that he says.
To infinity and beyond!
Buzz dives off Andy's bed.
That just made everybody laugh.
We loved that it made no sense.
Galen Sussman.
There is no beyond infinity. Infinity is infinite, and henceforth, there is no beyond infinity.
Felt like it really captured the essence of who he was.
Lee Unkrich.
They had a sense of who Buzz was and who they wanted him to be, but once the decision was made to cast Tim Allen as Buzz, so much of his character just clicked into place. It was actually Tim Allen's idea to play Buzz as like an average street cop.
They've been watching Sid in the backyard, who's the mean kid next door, blow up the combat car with the
M80. I could have stopped him.
Right.
Sid throws rocks at a toy.
What's going on?
So instead of being this unrealistic kind of, I'll save you, eager young space cadet kind of guy, he's playing it more like, yeah, you know, I'm just going to be hanging out around the corner.
There's a kid over in that house who needs us. Now let's get you out of this thing.
So he's a little bit more realistic. He's a little more earthbound.
No. Go. Just go. I'll catch up.
And it really shaped the way we wrote the character, the way we thought of him in major ways.
Sheriff. Sheriff. There you are.
Woody has been flattened by a toolbox in the back of a truck.
When we're designing Buzz, I thought we had something. You know, it was cool.
But we didn't have a clue that this was going to become some kind of phenomenon. That Woody and Buzz would be household names.
To infinity and beyond!
A barista uses a stencil to dust a latte with a Buzz Lightyear shape. A window gets cleaned around an etching of Buzz. Cosplayers dressed as Woody and Buzz do a dance together. People show off Buzz shoes and a Buzz tattoo. The character speaks in different languages. French. Korean. Danish.
Space Ranger.
Wearing Toy Story shoes, a cosplayer rides an electric board sport. Now, March 2000.
Buzz, this is the Oscars. It's supposed to be formal.
Well, that would explain all the penguins then.
The whole thing. It was shocking.
I remember when the film came out and driving down the freeway and be like, there's a billboard for Toy Story. And it was really wild to see Buzz go up on the International Space Station. That was, wow. You created this character who wants to be in space and now he's literally gone further than most of us ever will.
For us to think we would get to do anything more.
Toy Stories 2, 3, and 4.
Would have been just crazy thinking.
Buzz Lightyear mission log. The local sheriff and I seem to be at a huge refueling station of some sort.
Buzz was kind of a deluded sidekick, and somehow he really spoke to kids.
A little girl wears a Buzz Lightyear costume.
I'm not sure exactly what that means.
Andy picks up his Buzz action figure.
We tried to design a toy that would be really cool for Andy, that Andy would set aside Woody for.
Turns out that we created a toy that in the movie was a good character, but also actually a pretty darn good toy in reality.
He is the toy that all the kids want.
The box for a plastic model kit features English and Japanese.
There's always an interest in continuing the exploration of Buzz as a toy.
Buzz appears in a variety of depictions. A person's hand deploys the wings on his action figure.
How else can we have fun with Buzz?
He battles a Zurg toy. Now, Jennifer Tan, director, Pixar Consumer Products.
He's this superhero that every kid either wants to be like or wants to be friends with. Buzz appeals to adults and kids of all ages, of all genders. And that's why you see Buzz everything.
He's on a flashlight.
There's Buzz costumes, Buzz sneakers.
We work on action figures, pencil toppers, apparel.
Buzz backpacks, lunch boxes, juice boxes, paper towels, anything you can think of. Stickers on bananas, socks.
I love my Buzz and Woody socks. I love how Buzz is everywhere and people have made their versions of him.
He appears in molded plastic and crocheted fabric.
A lot of it's handcrafted. A lot of it's not coming out of factories. It's just people making cool little wooden pull toys or puppets. People just love the characters.
I guess in a way, the design worked out and it looks good because you can be still so far off and you know there's a Buzz in there somewhere.
I have seen some bizarre ones. They look like Buzz was put in a microwave.
It's not really the real Buzz, but you can tell it's Buzz Lightyear.
Angus McLean, story artist and animator on Toy Story 2, paces around his workstation in August 1998.
When I started working at Pixar, I was just blown away by the Buzz Lightyear character. His square personality I always thought was hilarious.
Angus became the go-to Buzz animator. If I'm having trouble, I can go to Angus, not only with technical things, but with like artistic choices, like what kind of expressions he makes, hand gestures.
And I'd always wondered what was the show or the movie that Buzz Lightyear came from. And so that was something that was always cooking in the back of my head.
In Lightyear, Buzz visits an alien world.
Terrain seems a bit unstable.
Lightyear and Toy Story are intrinsically connected. Andy, the kid in Toy Story, is so excited to get this Buzz Lightyear doll. Why is he so excited? Well, we all thought that he was excited because he probably went to see a movie. And we're saying that that movie is Lightyear.
Angus McLean, director, Lightyear.
Then I was trying to figure out, well, what kind of story are we telling with Buzz? And the character is more than just the character in the Toy Story world. It's a different character.
Jason Headley, writer, Lightyear.
There's a general way that Buzz moves through the world, a confidence.
This way.
Belief in himself.
I'm Buzz Lightyear. I'm always sure.
But we have to feel like he has this inner life.
Having an iconic character to start from doesn't solve it for us. It makes it a little easier, but there's a whole lot of discovery we have to do.
And the stakes are even higher when you're reimagining such a beloved character like Buzz Lightyear.
I think that texture is the next thing, and then lighting, like which.
The biggest thing a director does.
This is nice and elegant, but it has to be pushed up just a hair.
You're a coach, you're a cheerleader.
It feels pretty great. I love the gesture of the nose.
You're a vision keeper, and you're a navigator. There's a lot of times you're just at the bow of the ship where there's just a ton of fog and you're saying, there's land there, believe me, I promise you we'll get there.
I think the action is actually just the steam.
A lot of great sci-fi hinges on a real world parable or a deeper truth. And so I was trying to find like, what's the deeper truth?
On a rainy day, Angus arrives at Pixar Animation Studios.
When you're making a movie, it takes such a long time. You really need to find something you can kind of latch onto that feels personal.
Wearing a face mask, he gets to work in a cramped office.
This campus is one of the inspirations for the movie. I have different memories from different years that go back almost 22 years now. That's where I brought my daughter to work for the very first time when she was 6 months old. We finished the movie there. That's the last time I saw that person alive. Having been at the studio for a long time, the sense of time passing was first and foremost in my mind. When you work on films, the perceived time passes differently. You do these 4-year jumps, these 5-year jumps.
Then you stick your head out of the hole and you're like, what happened? And everyone else is like, all kinds of things happened.
Text flips around like a digital calendar to March 2020.
The pandemic certainly added to that.
Dean Kelly, supervising story artist.
It's like Groundhog Day. We have our deadlines and then my kid's school year. You're like, that's how you knew that time was passing.
At Pixar, we've been lucky to be able to work through this pandemic.
Immersed back in our families in ways that we hadn't been.
Looking at it now, it's evident that the pandemic influenced Buzz's story. Being able to overcome these odds, but also know that you're not alone and trying to do what you need to get done.
It's amazing to see how connected we are and how separated we are at the same time. And I thought, well, that would be an interesting problem for Buzz. Could he be in a situation where he was traveling through time at a different rate than other people?
Because it's looking really good. I don't want to overwork the dough on that stuff.
February 2018.
Hey, welcome, everybody.
The Pixar story process is simultaneously regimented and also chaos.
The first few years of the film, it's actually the story department and editorial kind of building the film from scratch.
In story, we're drawing every single thing that's on the page in a very cinematic way, and we get to see how each part of the script is working or not working.
I'm not sure you could classify this as wallowing.
It's interesting how quickly it starts to feel like a movie. You know, a couple of frames in, and you're like, okay, this is what this is.
He's like, hang in there, guys, and then blast.
We're constantly revising our movie, our story, our script.
You never think like, that's good, we're good, we're finished. Like, there are holes that are just filled with stuff that you know aren't really gonna be a part of the movie.
Unpacking why things are funny, why things work, is part of the job.
We have to get to the next bit, and I feel like the next bit is Zurg holding Buzz, right? So if he turns, what if it's a reaction? Like, Zurg, and he reacts. That way, just so we know that something is wrong.
What's great about science fiction is you can do anything.
Concept art depicts exciting scenes from the movie.
We've written so many sequences that don't exist anymore that are just so fun. Laser heists and sticky space situations, falling from great heights, killer robots, all these things that you're trying out. And ultimately, like, none of that matters. What matters is what's happening with these characters in this moment, how they're changing from these people into these people.
Buzz and a woman salute each other.
Ready, Captain Lightyear?
Ready as I'll ever be, Commander Hawthorne.
To infinity?
And beyond.
A tendril drags him to the ground.
Buzz in this film is a space ranger. He is a human from Earth, dedicated to Star Command.
Text, Star Command SC-01 Exploration Vessel, Crew 1200.
The movie begins with Buzz Lightyear and his people on this giant, giant ship.
A finger presses a button to divert course to a new destination.
They stop on a detour because they notice a planet that has some resources.
Chris Evans, voice of Buzz Lightyear in Lightyear.
Buzz Lightyear mission log, stardate 3901. Sensors have detected potential life forms on an uncharted planet. There seems to be no sign of intelligent life anywhere.
The ship gets attacked, and as they're trying to take off, Buzz is responsible for the ship crashing.
He spends an entire film trying to get back home.
Not only is it his fault based on his actions, but he had the opportunity to be assisted. He could have had help.
I'm better off just doing the job myself.
In trying to return home, Buzz would have to be doing tests that would cause him to time travel.
He presses a green launch button, igniting the boosters on a rocket. It shoots straight up into the sky.
Approaching 50% hyperspeed.
It takes him about 4 or 5 minutes to do one of these missions, while everybody else on the planet ages 4 years.
He is aging at a different rate than all of his friends, and he sees them grow old as he continually fails to make up for the big mistake.
That social dislocation was the most captivating to all of us.
I thought we'd lost you, Buzz.
Alicia, what happened?
Time dilation.
What?
Time dilation is quite simple. As you approached hyperspeed, your time slowed relative to our own.
I'm glad you asked me about time dilation because I'm a physicist.
He smirks.
Right, so the faster... Oh, boy.
The faster you travel relative to something that is not traveling at that speed, your time slows down because time is relative. And
the faster you go toward approaching the speed of light, the less time passes for you relativistically. Now, nobody actually can hit the speed of light. You would become infinite mass, would explode type of thing. Like, you wouldn't be. That makes no sense. You really should get somebody really smart in here for this.
International Space Station in space.
Station, this is Angus MacLean and Galen Sussman with Pixar Animation. Do you hear us? How do you hear us? Excuse me.
The time dilation is real. Because the speed of light is the same no matter who's looking, who's observing it, that time progresses more slowly for people and objects that are moving fast compared to the objects that are not moving fast.
Station, this is Houston ACR. That concludes the event. Thank you.
Thank you.
Astronaut Thomas H. Marshburn floats out of view.
That's what time dilation is. And I don't want any letters.
Margaret Spencer.
One of the biggest nuts to crack was why Buzz cares so much. Something that really helped us out was the creation of this character, Alicia. A partner, somebody who we could track aging as he was staying the same.
Uzo Aduba.
Alicia is a dynamic.
That's an order.
Capable leader.
I'm gonna grant you 4 minutes to be off planet, but then you come right back to us.
Trying to advance and save the universe along with her friend Buzz Lightyear.
Okay, but maybe we should think about this.
The great tragedy of it is because he was so focused and so consumed with the mission.
That's what space rangers do.
At what cost, Buzz? Are you willing to lose another 4 years?
He missed all of her life.
He sees Alicia sporting a baby bump.
What Alicia represents is the life well lived that he never had.
Andy presses a button on Buzz's chest.
Buzz Lightyear to the rescue.
Buzz Lightyear, the character design is extraordinarily iconic. And I wanted to celebrate and get away from that design.
Trying to get the right balance of the Buzz people are expecting to see when they walk into the theater with enough new, different mystery. I'm now the protagonist and have my own story and growth. That balance is really tricky. He will step out of the ship. And if you remember all the way back in Toy Story, when we first met Buzz, you pan up and you see his face. Well, we have a shot very similar to that to try to help get people into the, okay, this is Buzz.
Strange planet.
This is kind of the Buzz we know, but this is definitely not the Buzz we know because it's a different Buzz.
A cat watches him slump down on a sofa.
And the stakes are even higher when you're taking a beloved character like Buzz Lightyear and you're reimagining him.
There's somebody out there with a Buzz Lightyear tattoo on their arm, and I just don't want that person coming up to me later and be like, look, man, you ruined my childhood, you ruined my arm, you know.
Character design starts from the Toy Story Buzz, but Toy Story Buzz has this ginormous chin. That's just not real. That's not human. Nobody has a chin that big.
To get the Buzz Lightyear from the toy to now this actual human action hero, he becomes a space ranger, but we also see his heart grow.
Buzz cries over a picture of him with Alicia.
To tell that story, there had to be stakes and issues that a man would deal with and not a toy.
Matt Nolte, character art director, Lightyear.
When I design a character, it's usually an emotional reason first. Then later, you can start talking about shape and why you did certain things. But as an artist, I can't say, oh, this is how we made him vulnerable. Somehow, putting your heart into something, as humans, we just know that. That's very ethereal.
The art of caricature is all about pushing the shapes and certain features, taking what's there in real life and emphasizing it.
We were laughing because when we tried the big chin and the round eyes and like the severe brows, those proportions, it was hard not to make him look like a jerk.
The biggest thing is like, in our film, Buzz has hair.
We never saw Buzz Lightyear without his, they call it a snood, the purple thing he wears on his head.
Thank goodness for Google. Snoods. And I'm like, what is that? And then I look it up, I'm like, oh, okay, that's what that is. So he's got hair, and so we've worked with the hair. The hair was the first thing. What's the hair gonna look like? His chin is pretty defining, you gotta have the chin. He's got that little curly Q, which is like a dimpled chin. He's got these big round eyes. How do you work that into the stylization of the world? He's got a barrel chest and narrow waist.
What did he look like underneath the spacesuit? And that was an exploration too. Angus wanted him to feel a little bit more vulnerable, a little bit more relatable.
I can't get out of this. And so I can't get a sense of, I can't get any emotion out of it. Story-wise, it's about the birth of a hero, not a hero that became a bigger hero. I would start him off as John Glenn and turn him into Han Solo. The most difficult aspect is the head, and you're totally nailing that.
Once we got approved in art, that goes on into the character modeling rig department. Very, very, very collaborative discovery.
A 3D model is spun around on a pedestal.
We just pass it around like a football, always after the same goal of maintaining the appeal that was in the original art, but discovering new problems.
Just feeling a little harsh.
Grant Alexander, character artist.
We've got an established character that everyone knows and loves. It was up to us to go back and flesh out this whole world that we've never encountered. We've just got little bits and pieces of it through Toy Buzz. So we had tried a lot of different callbacks and homages, like Lunar Larry. That's where we get this sort of orangish red color. We made sure to call back to the original Buzz Lightyear suit, so we still have buttons on it. Got the wing logo, the wrist communicator, all that stuff.
The gear, you know, Angus loves the gear. He loves all the stuff.
We gave him lots of cool accessories.
A weapon flies into Buzz's hand.
That he promptly loses immediately, because that's what would really happen.
Angus cares about everything. And when I say he cares about everything, literally everything.
Does that lever have some sort of ribbing on it so your thumb would be able to slide it easy?
Whether it's how deep a panel line is or even belt buckles, lots of belt buckles.
Dean Heesen, character artist on Lightyear, draws using a stylus and touchscreen. In the film, a ship is tilted toward a track in a launch silo.
I arrive at the picture of the hole through a series of connected details. I really wanted things to be tactile. You should be able to feel like you can touch this thing. Buttons, switches, more just making a world that feels believable and lived in. Then that will allow the emotional story to come forward.
You might also see that he's, through years of being an animator, is kind of obsessed with like the performance of hands in the movie.
I'd be curious if we could build the hands so that the index finger was aligned like that.
Angus wants that hand to say exactly what a character's feeling.
Supervising animator Travis Hathaway studies his own bent knuckles for reference. Now, Poly alum, animator Lightyear.
To him, a hand pose can signify like how much power and strength a person have. Depending on how you pose the thumb, it can show whether that person is a strong character or not.
In an animation demo, different angles show a thumb rotating inside a glove. Now, toys fill Angus's office.
I like toys a lot. I have strong opinions about them.
He rifles through a bin of parts.
And so for a lot of the big ships, I just built them out of Lego bricks. I want something like this.
Gregory Peltz, sets art director.
Lego bricks are Angus's medium. He does all these awesome mock-ups. Here's how he sketched it out in Lego bricks. And then I did my pass on it.
Angus shows another ship built out of plastic bricks.
This is the 15th ship Buzz uses to test this light speed fuel.
It's a movie that's full of cool stuff to make toys out of that was made by people who love toys.
Oh, this is the best one. This is the best thing.
He swings a toy version of Buzz's weapon.
And Angus remembers details on movies that are insane.
He has an encyclopedic knowledge of cinema.
Chase through a trolley graveyard.
A little more me, myself, and Irene than Raising Arizona. Gandalf, like, fly, you fools.
Indiana Jones.
Scooby-Doo.
Shawshank.
Beautiful Minding It. You need to kind of double impact it a little bit.
Like, he remembers not just lines.
No, Ka, from Jungle Book.
I'll use his name.
That's a different animation cycle. That's
he
like,
remembers the timing of where roughly it happens in a movie.
He's like, I think it was at like 2 minutes into the second act, you'll see this thing happen on this musical cue, and you're like, wow, that's so specific.
There's a million small details that you have to focus on, and you can make all of the elements awesome, and then when you watch the movie, it may not be awesome. There are a million things that can go wrong, and you won't even know. It's a crazy, crazy thing. It's wonderful and it's horrible. All directors go insane.
Angus sits at his workstation, holding his chin, then scratching his head.
The first thing I directed was a play when I was in kindergarten. And I have to say, I may have obsessed a little bit too much about the costumes. Even though there weren't swords involved in Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs, in my version, there were a lot of swords. Design and acting and performing and movies was like just my thing.
Photos show him in homemade costumes.
Was really obsessed with things. When I finally came to Pixar, I wasn't the only one.
Buzz Lightyear to Star Command. Come in, Star Command.
A Buzz Lightyear statue sits on a Pixar employee's home desk. He sits his daughter on his lap while he works. Another employee works on sketches out in his home garden. Using his stylus, a third employee adds finishing details to a ship on his touchscreen. Another paints with watercolors.
I have a working theory on storytelling and why we enjoy stories is because primarily we're dumb and we can't remember things. And so we need to have the same lessons taught to us over and over again so that we remember to be decent and we remember that we're a part of a community. And it's certainly a way that I learn and carry things with me through life.
I was always driven by making a picture, but there was something about the collaboration of different skills that come together when you do a film that was just so much more rewarding and entertaining. And like it just, I could see doing that every day for the rest of my life.
When you've worked at Pixar for 10 years, you get a really cool bronze statue of Buzz Lightyear.
They appear on the desks of multiple employees.
Buzz represents a certain amount of tradition, but he's also kind of the new guy.
There's something so aspirational about Buzz. If you want to acknowledge a decade spent and at the same time say, like, to infinity and beyond, we've got lots more to do together, you know, what better character than Buzz?
An engraving around the base of one of the statues reads, Pixar, 10 years of passion and commitment, Galen Sussman. The bronze Buzz stands proudly with his arms akimbo. Fade to black.
You want to say it like the classic, to infinity?
Sure.
To infinity and beyond.
No one can touch Tim Allen, though.
Question, are we saying, because as a, just so we're clear about it, now as an admission section, as a Toy Story fan. Are we saying it like the way Buzz, okay, copy. To infinity?
Uzo giddily prances away from her mic.
Sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm excited. No, I was just like, sorry, I couldn't even contain it. I was like, oh my gosh.
She hops. Audio description by Deluxe, funded by Disney Plus Originals, voiced by Katie Lynn Snyder.
It's crazy.
Disney Pixar Lightyear, in theaters June 17th, 2022.
I heard it come out wild. OMG.